This morning, I'm going to try to give you a quick overview of what God is doing and where we're headed as we move toward the future. This fall, our emphasis is on life, and we believe that that's a good emphasis. We believe there's some great things that God's going to do in your lives as a result of it. Our sermon series is going to be called The Facts of Life, as we're working through. And there are a number of things that we would like you to see as we're trying to work in that way. Starting now, the series is going to be everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us. So everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us. So all we need for life is what I'm talking about today. But what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn on the back of your outline. It says coming soon, and that's where I'm going to focus at this point. First of all, I'm going to be talking about life journals. And so this is experiencing deeper life. Life journals are available at the tables today at the foyer. Now, we're not going to officially be starting yet. Hey there. We have a guest here this morning. Maybe you'd like to just welcome him as he comes in and shares with us this morning. Thank you. His name is Soapy. So how about hi, Soapy? There you go. Actually, he may come and visit here, but he's more often going to be visiting in our kids' way, right, Soapy? And the reason he has his name, Soapy, is actually, we're going to be talking about this, but we have a kids' life journal that's all about Soapy, and so he will be teaching kids some things, right, Soapy? So we're so grateful that you're here. Thanks, Soapy, for coming and visiting us today. We'll see you. Let me talk about what these life journals are all about. We did this about 10 years ago, working with life journals. And what the whole intent is of a life journal is that you're going to learn how to do devotions on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Next Sunday, I'm going to teach you how to journal and share some of mine with you that I will learn this week that I haven't done yet, because we will do them on a daily basis. And so what we're trying to do is we will offer you the ability to use one of these journals. So you can pick it in green, blue, yellow, red, or purple. And the outside is different, but the inside's the same for all of them. So it doesn't really matter except for a color preference that you're going to keep with you every week as we move forward. Officially, we don't really start this till the 27th of September, and that's going to be on your little calendar there. I'm going to just walk through. However, if you'd like to start it right away, there's nothing saying that you couldn't. There's enough instruction in here that you could be able to follow it yourself and know what to do, as you would see in the front, but I think it'll be more helpful if we do it all together next week. So maybe you'll start this week and already be ahead of it, and that's fine. But then we'll kind of talk about a little bit more what it means and what it looks like. It's got a reading plan in here, so it tells you what to read on a daily basis, has dates and all that sort of thing. If you're already in a reading plan and you're saying, wow, I've been doing that, and you can use your reading plan and put it into this. So it's okay if you do that. But if you'd like to follow along, that's also. I'm going to encourage you to bring this to church every week for this whole series. And so here's what's going to happen, and I'm giving permission to all of you to do this. We're going to learn how to let God speak to us on a daily basis. And so every day, God's going to say something to you. And some of you are going to go, really? Wow, that's amazing. Well, we're going to teach you how to do that and how to learn that. And so here's what's going to happen. You're going to write about it every day. Now, when you carry this with you, I give permission to other people to say, so what did God say to you this week? And you go, Well, I had this really cool day on Wednesday. This is what he said. Now, that's called godly conversation and is really helpful for all of us. Accountability, help us to be faithful, help us to be able to see how God's working, just cool things. So we have enough for every person to have one, every teen to have one, and every reading child to have one. And so that means if you're on the same reading plan, which they kind of all sequence together, you'll all be reading the same thing as a family every day. And then you'll have something you can talk about as well. And some of you who travel 45 minutes to get here, or an hour, which I've heard those conversations, you have some great conversations that are going to be coming in your travel time. But here's what it is. We're going to be working on a regular basis, letting God speak to us, and then being able to get excited about what he's saying and share it with others. And so we're going to encourage the kids to bring theirs every week, the teens to bring theirs, and adults to bring theirs. And so we're going to all work through this whole life journal process. As I said, they're available for you in the foyer today. You can pick up those if you want to pick them up. We're going to make them available for 3 weeks to make sure that everybody gets theirs. We're not charging for those. And I hope you know we don't really make money on anything that we try to do. I'm just not real good at that. Because our intent is we want to disciple as much as possible. Our bookstore pretty much operates in the red, and we pretty much know that. And the reason is we feel it's an opportunity for us to get discipleship material in the hands of you and our community. So we count it as a mission investment. Same thing with this. Now, if you wanted to contribute to the cost of these journals, we're not going to say no. There is a basket there, but we don't want anybody to like be afraid to take because they can't. So it's available for everyone at every level. Children's are going to be available. They're going to be handing them out primarily if your kids are in Kids Way, and same for youth. If they don't go to either of those, we'll have those available for them as well. Also, during this time, we have one other source, and that's called God Questions. And this is a small book. This is $2.50. You can get this at the bookstore. It is going to be available. And we also have a discussion guide for small groups. We do make that available. You'll have to go through Caleb Swartz to get this. If you have a small group that would like to kind of work through this with us, that would be great. It has a DVD and questions and answers and guide and all that sort of thing. There's a larger book. We did order those. Those are not in yet. But there's a larger book that will be going over God Questions. It's about $7.50. So the two small one, kind of the gift edition, just a minimal amount of information, is this one, $2.50. Then there's another one, $7.50. You can get both of those in the bookstore, and you can follow the whole message series that we're going to be working through. So each week, next week, as I said, we'll be working on the journals. The following will be going on God is Real. Is God real? That's the question that we're going to be working on. This has additional resource that can help you read more than what we'll present on Sunday. The next 40 days officially begins of prayer and fasting. If you've never fasted before, what we try to encourage you to do during the 40 days, we want you to raise to a higher level than is really sustainable on a regular basis. So you kind of, for 40 days, you do something a little extra, but hopefully it helps you notch up spiritually in your own life to get to a point in place that's a little higher than where you were before. And so when you finish the 40 days, you drop down, but never where you were before, you drop a little higher, and so you continue to grow and develop. Now, fasting is setting aside the physical to focus on the spiritual. Fasting is setting aside the physical to focus on the spiritual. And some of you may say, well, I have, you know, issues as far as my diet or my blood sugar or whatever. I can't fast. And that's fine. But you listen to what I said. It's setting aside the physical to focus on the spiritual. So maybe you can't give up food, but you could give up something that you do during that 40 days that maybe you could set aside, especially something you like to do. Now, don't set aside housework and say, you know, I hate all that anyway. I'll do that for 40 days. No, that's not really exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Set aside something you like for 40 days and put that aside and then focus on the spiritual instead of the physical. And so that's the whole intent. And if you've never fasted, I would encourage you, if you are capable medically and physically, that you would try fasting one meal. If you've never done it before, just do one meal. You know, just take in clear liquids or water, make sure, and then just do that. It's not skipping a meal, but it's praying on during that time instead of eating. And so you're trying to be able to make that focus. If you have fasted and you're comfortable in fasting a day, I would encourage you to start out with and say like an evening meal, breakfast and lunch. That means you can eat both days. And so that kind of is a 24-hour fast. If you do a breakfast, lunch, dinner, it's actually until the next morning. It's actually more than 24 hours, which is fine too. You can do that. But find out what works for you. But during this time, especially try to, if you have fasted and are comfortable, at least do one day a week that you will be setting aside as you would be praying. We'll talk more about that as we do our challenge when we start. Then October 2nd, fact number 2, is the Bible true? Fact number 3, do all roads lead to heaven? Fact 4, how can a good God allow suffering? Fact 5, which is right, evolution or creation? Fact 6, what will heaven be like? So those are kind of the ways that we're going to walk through the messages during that time. As I said, if you're going to use one of the companion books, that'll help you give more and deeper information than what can be shared or stuff you might want to retain. Felt it would be helpful so you could know exactly what's before us. So if there are people that you'd like to make sure you can invite during this time that might be helpful for them, those are ways that you can be able to keep focus. Plus, you're going to be doing the very best that you can to stay on target with where God is taking you. Let's go back to the beginning of the outline as we talk about the fact today about life and seeing what that is. November 6th is Friend Day too, as we would say. As we're talking and saying that what is life? What is life? All we need for life is before us. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning as we look at your word. Let us hear your voice, not mine. In Jesus' name. What is life? What is life? That's what we're starting out and talking about. Life is more than possessions. It's more than possessions. You know, we start thinking, you know, like they've asked the richest people in the world, what do you need? How much do you need to really be happy? And you know what the answer is? Well, just a little bit more. It's always just a little bit because it never really satisfies. You know, possessions and wealth, that doesn't satisfy us. We also know Scripture says it because Jesus said, life does not consist in abundance of possessions. That's not how it is. I mean, they always say, the more things you own, the more things own you. Because there's responsibility that comes with everything, right? So everything that you have, like the more that you have, it's like, maybe we should just lease or rent everything. What do you think? maybe that'd be easier in life. And we don't really own anything. but, you know, the whole thing. Well, the fact is, life is more than food or clothes. It's more than food or clothes. So there's an importance of understanding whatever comes into our life. Jesus said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? It's just not in the things. That's not where real life is. See, life is in God's hands, and he knows my days. Let me say, God knows your days, which means you can't change the quantity of life. You can change the quality, but not the quantity, because God has your days. How do we know that? Scripture says it like this. You saw me before I was born, before I was born. Right? Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed, which tells you God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for every day. So there are no mistakes with God. He's in control of all this. Now, we may not understand it all. It may not all fit together, and it doesn't certainly go the way we think it should. But we have to trust him that he's in control. God has the answers to my greatest life. He has the answers to my greatest life. And so what does that mean? He says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. As a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, you should have a rich and satisfying life. Now, why don't Christians have that? Because there's a lot of Christians who are not, do not have a rich and satisfying. And you know, when you say rich, this doesn't mean money. This means full. This means really a rich kind of a fullness in life, a rich and satisfying life, because they're not taking the resources that God has given them. He said he's given us everything we need for life. He's given us everything we need. So why aren't we experiencing it? Because we're not drawing from those resources. We're drawing on our own. Life before Jesus, let me say this. Everybody has a BC. Before Christ, everybody has a BC. Now, I talked to one guy who was leaving this morning, and he said his BC was pretty short. He was 3 years old when he gave his heart to Christ. So his BC was, but you all have a BC. Nobody has always been a Christian. When somebody says, when did you give your life to Christ? And they say, well, I've always been a Christian. They kind of think of it like if you're Jewish, you've always been Jewish because you were born Jewish, like kind of an ethnicity. But that's not the case as a Christian. You're not born a Christian. You may be born in a Christian home, and that's great. But God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And so that means every one of us has to come to a personal decision for Christ and make that. So at one time in my life, I was without Christ. At one time in my life, I was without Christ. Scripture says it this way. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. You did not know the covenant promise God had made to them. You lived in this world without God, without hope. That was my life before Christ. The fact is, all of us had a former way of life. So we lived our life to please ourselves. And so all of us had that former way. So what does he say to us? Their minds were full of darkness. They wandered far from the life God gives because they closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. And that's where a lot of people are even today. They've kind of hardened themselves so that they're not really sensing God's pull on their heart and their life. But God continues, and we continue to pray that God will soften the heart and help them to hear that. What happens? Sin separates us from God. And that's what happens when we choose our own way and we choose to follow our own desires. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. But Jesus came to give me life. So we know that. Jesus came to give me life. It says, human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. You see, God doesn't need you. We need him. You see, if he needed you, he would be incomplete. God is perfect. He doesn't need anything. So he has no needs. And so it's important. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need you and your service, but he desires to use you and to work in you. And you know what? He himself gave life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. We need God. That's what it is. So he's created in us a hole that's in us that needs him. And we're not complete until God is in us. And that gives a rich and satisfying life because we find completeness in him while he is in us. And so that's going to be very important. See, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So life with Jesus, what is it like and what do we understand? First, we understand that Jesus is the bread of life and Jesus satisfies my hunger. So the hunger that is inside of me for more is satisfied when I come to Christ. So when I come to know him and I come into a relationship with him, I find that he satisfies the needs of my life. And that's why I have to continue to hunger for him and thirst for him. And that continues to be filled as I'm understanding how he wants to work in my life on a daily basis. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. See, he's going to satisfy that need inside of us. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So he's going to satisfy that thirst. He said we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So it's not a physical, but it's a spiritual hunger that he wants to satisfy inside of us that kind of makes us restless when we don't have him. Jesus is the light of life. I will never walk alone or never be in darkness. The fact is, there's something always kind of a little bit creepy about darkness. I think most of us have like a little uncomfortable kind of thing about darkness. I don't know what we think is going to creep out or pop out from the darkness. I think it has something to do with my childhood and my older brother who would always scare me in the dark. I could seek some counseling for this, but we'll see how this goes. The fact is that we were always a little bit afraid, and I know I watch a couple creepy TV shows or a movie or something, and then I kind of walk out in the dark to take the garbage out, and I'm thinking, I know they're around here someplace. And I know they're not, but it just kind of creeps you out because darkness. Do you know, like Jesus said, he is the light. And he said, Jesus spoke to the people once more. He said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Do you know when we get to heaven, there'll be no more darkness? So it can't be that good here if he's saying he's going to do away with it for eternity. In fact, Jesus is going to be the light for eternity, and we won't need flashlights or streetlights or anything. We'll just have light eternally in heaven. It's going to be wonderful. They tell me Alaska's like that, kind of like at some time of the year. I'm not sure. I've never seen that when they have so much light all the time. Have you? Okay. A little hard to sleep probably, but we won't need sleep in heaven. Yeah, sunlight at 10 o'clock. But in heaven, you won't need sleep. So it's going to be awesome. God has such great things prepared for us. Jesus is life. And he said, Jesus told him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He's the life force. No one can come to the Father except through him. In fact, Jesus came to this world that I might have life eternal. And so he says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. And so we understand when we have Jesus, we have life. And Jesus is life, but he also brings life. And so when we start to look at that, we see several things. First, he promises a full and abundant life. So when you have Jesus in your heart, he's given you a full and abundant life. But that becomes a choice on your part, how much you're receiving from what he's giving. I mean, if you're not there in the place to receive it, you're not going to get it. So you can't be complaining against God. It's your own fault as far as what you're receiving. That's why the good news, if you're receiving on a daily basis and letting God speak to you and learning how to hear his voice, you're going to experience more of that in your life. I came so you can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I like the paraphrase, the Message's rendering there, more than you ever dreamed of. That's what God has for you. Jesus promises eternal life. So he promises if you would die, you can know for sure that you're going to go to heaven. And you're going to say, can I know for sure that I'm going to heaven? Yes, you can. That's what the Bible says. And so that everyone who believes in him. Okay, let me try it again. So everyone who believes in him will have eternal, not might have eternal life. He's not saying, okay, if you believe in me, you might get it. I haven't decided yet. You just might. No, he's saying you will. You will. Jesus promises that my name is then written in the book of life. When I'm born again, when I give my heart to Jesus, guess what? He writes my name in the book of life. And that's kept in heaven. Here's the scripture that tells us all through Revelation. Nothing evil will ever be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what happens. When you're born again, give your heart to Jesus, then immediately your name is written in the Book of Life. He said, I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. That's called the book of deeds. That's another part. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their name from the book of life. But I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. So so our name can be written in the book of life. Now, Jesus promises, I shall taste of the tree of life. Only time he talks about the tree of life is in Genesis with Adam and Eve, and then again in Revelation, because that same tree that was there is now waiting for us in heaven. And we get to be able to experience that, because he says, blessed are those who wash their robes, they will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat from the fruit from the tree of life. This is going to be like any, not like any other fruit that you have here on life, but something that goes way beyond. We will be eaten in heaven. Isn't that good news? But you won't gain weight. I think that's a wonderful thing. So I'm not sure, but I just know, according to what I see in Scripture, we are going to be eating. We do know that there are animals that are in heaven. So some people say, is my dog or cat going to get there? Maybe. Yours is, but I'm not sure about mine. There's a war that went on there before all that happened. But anyway, okay. I'm just kidding, Antoinette. I'm just kidding. She always gives me a hard time about that. All this is promised to those who drink from the water of life. Come, let anyone who hears this say, come. Anyone, we're all welcome. Let everyone, anyone who is thirsty, come. If anyone who desires, drink freely from the water of life. And that's what, that's going to be that stuff that keeps you alive eternally. That's what God wants to do in our lives. So to receive this life, it's very simple. I like to say it's as simple as ABC. This is on our website. If you ever want to share the gospel with someone, we even share the gospel and then have an invitation. I pray the prayer, and so people can be able to walk through that. And it's a great way for you to be able to use. But here's how we do it. Admit I've sinned. That's not hard. All of us know no one's perfect, right? Right? Right. You're not perfect. And neither is the person beside you, just so you know. I mean, you probably already knew about them, but you probably thought you were better. But the fact is, no one is. Because Scripture says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. None of us is going to be perfect, and that's the standard would be needed. Only Jesus was perfect. He never sinned. That's why he is the glorious standard. That's Jesus. And he's done that for us. And so believe that Jesus died for my sins. And so what does Scripture tell me? If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not might be, will be. Once again, we understand. So then three, confess my sins. So I then say, Lord, I've sinned. I need you in my life. You don't have to confess to other people, but you confess to him. Because that's what he says. Because the Scripture says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. That's what God will do. And so then, after I've gone through, I have to decide to personally receive. You see, just because the gift is there for you doesn't mean you have it unless you receive the gift. So Jesus died for you, but until you come to a personal point and place where you receive that gift, you don't have him in your life. And that's why you have to make that decision. But to all who believed in him, accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And that's what we have. So he gives us that right. I've written this so that you may believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know. Can you hope you're going to heaven? I believe I'm going to heaven. No. He says you can know you're going to heaven. That's why it's so important that you make that personal decision to say, I want to receive Jesus into my heart and life. If that's never happened for you, I want to give you that opportunity right now as we would pray in closing. So let's bow together for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your blessings in our lives and for new life that you've given. There are those that are here this morning that would say, I've never made that decision. And I want to know a rich and satisfying life, and I'd want to give my heart to Jesus. So if that's you this morning, would you just repeat this prayer with me, after me? Just repeat it in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I want to invite you to come into my heart. I want to give you control of my life. I believe you died for me. I believe that you have eternal salvation for me. I want to receive that. Help me to turn from my sins and to lead a new life. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for coming into my heart. Thank you for new life. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer and you said, that's the desire of my heart, and I prayed that along with you this morning, would you just put your hand up and down so I can pray for you? Amen. Others? Yes. Praise God. Amen. Heavenly Father, you know each one that has prayed that prayer this morning. Let them know the assurance that you're in their heart and you want to be with them every day. In Jesus' name, amen. There were a number of those who made that decision this morning. Would you like to rejoice along with them? We'd like to help you to grow in your faith. Please, if you've never done this before, there's a card in the back of the seats that said, I choose Jesus. If you'd fill that out, there will be people at both of these tables who would love to just receive that card and then give you a Bible. It's a New Believer's Bible. It'll help teach you how to understand your beginning walk with Him. We just like to make it available to you, to offer it to you. It's a gift we'd like to be able to share because you've just received the greatest gift that you could possibly have, eternal salvation. May God bless you. We look forward to the days ahead and weeks ahead as we walk through this journey of life. God bless you.